All right. Trevor, will you pray for us?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good God, thanks for giving us all a window to come together and learn and grow and communion with you. And communion with you, Lord, I just pray that you would continue to raise us all up to be the many pastors we really are to our little community. I pray, God, that you would continue to make us humble and teachable. And I pray, Lord, that you would be in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray.
I thought it was really cool today. This is our last session, so thank you for being here. And so it's been planned a couple months out. Aaron's sermon's been planned out for years, probably, what he was going to say today. And they really line up, and they go hand in hand. And it is today. This will be an extension of hopefully what you just heard a little bit ago, or we'll hear tonight. And and that's really cool. So week one, we started with this question: who is the church? And I'm asking now: who is the church?
We are
as believers. We are the church. So the question today is: what are we called to do? God love people. Go and make disciples. So that's where we're being today, and that's very inclusive and not exclusive. So that's yeah, I got some freaky stare there. So Aaron hit it, you know, nail on the head today is we are always to include, always to be inviting, and that is other people within the church, but also out who are not believers. I wanted to start with this. From this book I'm reading. I thought it was pretty cool. One Eye, and that's Bill Clem. Speak of community. I'm speaking of relationships and the quality of those relationships. These relationships will extend to geography, affinity, and those we work with. We all have a desire to belong, so much so that it may even be a part of the image of God. Finding ways to experience and express belonging to those not yet part of our faith community is what we call mission. John 3:16 tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Romans 5:10 calls us God's enemies, saying, while we were enemies, we were reconciled with God. As we have seen before, God's mission is one of reconciliation. Paul saw himself and other believers as ambassadors of reconciliation. This is what it looks like to image God to those who are not part of the community of faith. And so, in this chapter, they started saying that everybody images God to one degree of distortion or another. And if this is true, then being on mission may not be about what help you can offer as much as partnering with unbelieving image bearers already imaging, although distorted, the God they don't know. I thought that was really cool because it's not about what you can do. It's not just about what you can do to help. It's not just about serving them. It's coming alongside them and through relationship, helping them see that they are an image bearer of God and helping them see that who God is and what Jesus has done and move them on this path. So I thought that was pretty cool. And so we should always be reaching out to non-believers. We should always have the mission of making disciples. And corporately, we want our GCs to be doing this as well. We want our GCs to be on mission. What we mean is reaching out and building relationships. Not just planning events, but actually making relationships with those that God has put into within the GC, or not part of the GC, but into our lives, and helping them see that they are, and you know, what Jesus has done. It's really weird. First time I did this, people on the other side, and so it's weird just being up here alone. I don't like it. Okay. Yeah, just random two people, please. Suck pop it. So before he ascends into heaven, Jesus gives us what is known as the Great Commission. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so this is really a challenge for us as GC leaders is a lot of times we have the family aspect down of GC. We have the I'm member care. This is and all that is very important. And sometimes we lose sight of being inclusive and inviting those that we're reaching out to, our neighbors, our coworkers, into the mix. And it really makes being a missionary easier. It makes witnessing to somebody easier because you're not out there doing it alone. You're not out there having to know all the answers, which you never will. You don't have to be the one being social if you're like me and don't want to talk at a lot of times. You know, it's you invite them to be a part of this community, to build this relationship. And so you get people who are smarter than you or people who are more outgoing than you. And together, you collectively witness to non-believers. And that is, it's a lot of work, but it's also makes it a lot easier. And it takes some of that, because it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about what I know or what I can do. And it's about Jesus. And collectively, I think that gets shown a little bit better. And so you might have some people who evangelists come easy to them. They can evangelize. And that's great. You tap into their potential. Tap into what they think and have them be the ones that kind of help lead things. And I was talking to Jessa, and there's somebody in your guys' group that has a very good way of making people socialize without them even really realizing it. And that's great. You want to use, everybody has different gifts. Everybody has different talents. And so the idea of, or not the idea of GC, but hopefully within a GC, everyone is using those talents and using them together as one body, reaching out to those. I feel like I looped back on myself, but that's all right. Some people see, you know, missionaries as overseas missionaries, and that's all that there is. And that's important, but obviously we want to be missionaries right where we are. God has placed you in the job that you work, in the neighborhood you live in, and we are to be missionaries right where we are. Again, it is all about relationships. It's not about... I thought I was being funny when I wrote this, but now I'm not about holding signs or anything like that, protesting. It is about that. So we should have a missionary mindset. In the chapter, I'm not going to go over it now. We put in some statistics for Santa Maria that came from the last census we had. So the website told me. I don't know. It looked like a legit website, so I'm pretty sure it's right. But it's the web. I don't trust anything. Yeah, our website's fake then. So it is our goal and our vision that GCs become our second a primary front door. And what I mean is in any church you have what you call your front door. And still today in America, Sunday morning services are is a primary front door. People drive by the building, see the building, see what times your services are, and walk in for the very first time. And that's still very expected, and I don't think that's going to go anywhere. And we should never, you know, not minister that way. But we want gospel communities to be another front door, meaning we want people to enter into the church to partake in the church and hear about Jesus through gospel communities. So it's not the idea, though, that just that. So our missionary focus is to get them to church on Sunday and let Aaron preach at them. It's we're building these relationships and we are ministering to them right where they are. And they might never attend Element. They may never come to know Christ, but we are doing everything we can to be inclusive. To bring it all back to that. Because again, Jesus is inclusive, and that is where we should get our identity from. And we want to make disciples who make disciples. So it's very important that we are instilling this idea of being missionaries into the people that are in our GC. And as new people come to know Christ, they see it as their objective to go and make disciples. There's a girl in our GC who came to know Christ because her coworker started, she was going through really hard financial hardship. And her coworker, who is a believer, saw this and said, you know, why don't you take this for a food? You know, that, and it really started helping her and started talking to her and started showing her that she's worthy, for one, of love, but also met her needs. And so through this relationship, she became a believer. And now she's a fairly new believer. But one of the things she has said a few times is, well, we should be doing this. I want to be focusing on this and seeing people who need help. And so she kind of, by the process that she became a believer, that's her natural state now. Believers do this. Believers serve. Believers see the needs around them. And a lot of times, I know for me, I grew up a Christian in a Christian home around church. And so for me, it was kind of eye-opening to think that, yeah, that's it. That's the gospel lived out. And because that was how she became a believer, that is now just what she knows. So we want to make disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. I'm tired. Let's see. I don't want to read everything, so I'm just going to skip through. One of the things I've heard the past couple weeks is gospel community. Yeah, I don't want to get plugged into one. Or there's some members in a GC currently that says, and as if you guys have kind of taken away from this and talked to them, there's been pushback. And one of the ideas that has come back is that gospel communities is the new flavor of the month. It's the new thing that is the latest fad, and it won't be around next year. And so this is. And I think this is where we want to go, is as gospel communities, yeah, we want to be family. You know, we want to study the Bible together. We want to do all these things. But we also want to be missional. And that's one thing that sets GCs apart from small groups. And so, you know, with what Aaron was saying this morning and through all the scripture verses in this, it isn't new. This is what Jesus had. Jesus surrounded himself with a community that focused on the gospel, and that is a gospel community. You know, the disciples worked with him to meet his mission, and then were tasked to go and make disciples. And then they went out. So they split up, formed their own communities, and went out and did everything. So to fight, not fight, but to help against that mentality, is to show that Jesus is inclusive. And we don't want to be cliquey. We don't want to separate ourselves from that. And I don't know what God's going to do, but for us, hopefully, gospel communities is around for the long haul, because that's what we see in Scripture. And then kind of second last thing I want to talk about is gospel communities with a missional focus. We started saying this right out of the bat, kind of, you guys got to have a missional focus and encouraging. And what we didn't mean for it to be is we didn't mean it for a mandatory program or a mandatory mission. What we meant was we want you out there developing relationship with non-believers. And sometimes, like with Will's kind of testimony from England, sometimes you do that through geographical locations, neighborhoods, and sometimes it just takes something like Element Moms. It takes kind of something that can attract people to it, and then that's who you focus on. Not that you don't focus on your neighbors still or anything like that, because you got to focus on who God has placed in your life. But the missional focus isn't it. It's not the end all. It's Jesus and building relationships. And I can't say how many times I've said relationships today, but hopefully I'm drilling that home. Is it is more about relationships than a program. It is more about relationships than anything. Because that's how Jesus did it. He did it through relationships. Because it is all about Jesus and not just relationships. See how that works? So this idea, if, and we've talked about missional focus a lot. So unless you have any questions, I'll move on. But I know RGC, where we focus on primarily just our neighborhoods and inviting non-believers over for meals, block parties, 4th of July, Halloween, and stuff like that. So we're trying to get to know people and build those relationships that way. Mission through multiplying. Again, this goes back to disciples making disciples. Jesus sends his 12 out. They go in different ways. They form new groups. So it is imperative that we see this as, yeah, we're a GC, but at a certain point we will, for the gospel, we will make some kind of we'll grow to a point where we need to expand, do some form of a split, or just send off leaders to plant new groups. You know something? And our approach, kind of section of middle of 34, our approach to mission should involve three elements, really no in particular order, because today I'll start with the last one, including people in community, building relationships, and sharing the gospel. Those are important. Not to be inclusive, to share the gospel with both how you live, but also through word, because the scriptures is word, and at some point it has to be spoken, it has to be communicated that way, and through all that and everything else you're doing, building relationships. Again, it's hard, it's easy to talk about this in principle, and the hardest thing is to start to live it out, and that means, you know, going back to the idea of being inclusive, it means sometimes it's very hard. It means inviting the people you don't want to invite, stopping and talking to people that you really don't want to talk to because you want to just go home and go, you know, watch TV or whatever. But it includes, you know, all that. It includes opening your home up. It includes all that when you just, at the end of the day, you just don't want to. And some days you don't, but hopefully more than not, you do. And as leaders, we need to be living this out so that others can see it being modeled. And we need to be talking about it. We need to be talking about being inclusive and focusing on Jesus and why and how he does it. All right. My last kind of tidbit for everybody, and that starts, you know, I think, praying for people, going around at your next study time as a GC and praying for the people that God's put into your life. At one point, we had a whiteboard. I guess if you don't know me, I love whiteboards. My name's Michael. I'm addicted to whiteboards. And so what we did is we had everybody just go up and write who, at that point in time, God had, it was placing on their heart and in their lives. And we prayed about them. And what we didn't do is we didn't follow up very much. So that's what we need to do. But we need to be intentionally praying for people, intentionally talking about ways to include them, intentionally doing that. Even if you're not doing it, start talking about it, and then out of that, you know, hopefully it'll force you to do something. But it's easier to talk about it kind of in principle. It's easier to say we should be doing this, and unless we actually put it into practice, it just didn't get done because it's hard, and a lot of times we don't want to.
I think, most folks who are here for the Dave Craft thing, it comes back also to the imperative sign of the indicatives, as in, you know, because of who God is and what he's done for us, that's where this all flows from. And I love 1 Peter in 2:9 and on, it says, "But you are not like this. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." So, right there, from the very beginning. Your identity is our identity. We are a royal priest. We are a holy nation, God's own possession. So that the reason for all that is we could show the goodness of God to others. It's what he's done for us, and he's set that before us. And then, like, the way that that happens is by you know, living consistently with the gospel in front of all of our neighbors to see. It's by being welcoming. It's by carefully watching the way we live properly amongst our non-believing neighbors. Even if they hate us, even if they accuse us of doing wrong, when it's all said and done, they will honor God when he judges the world. And that is what it's all about. It's bringing honor and glory to God. That's what mission's about. That's what discipleship's about. So that's definitely my encouragement there from Peter. Well, Peter's encouragement. So.
Anybody have any questions? Anything to add? Ideas?
I think when you see people doing this effectively in your group, do a really good job of encouraging them, building them up. Now, there's one gal in my group who is fantastic. She's like strategic and targets when there's a new face, and she doesn't like jump on them. She waits for them to sort of migrate through the group, and everyone kind of says hi, and she sort of makes sure that she's like the last one they greet, and then boom, she's got their attention, and she sits and visits with them, makes them feel welcome, asks them their story. She's fantastic. She's got the training for this. There's nothing special about it. It's her personality. It's a part of her giftedness that she's expressing. And I'd seen it a couple of times, and I realized, well, that's rich. We need to make sure that's a high value for us in our group. And so I've tried to go and encourage her, and we had a new person join us a couple of weeks ago, and she did it again. And so I went over afterwards and said, hey, thank you for the way you're blessing our group. You probably didn't even realize you're doing it, and it's true. She's like, you know, almost embarrassed by me pointing it out. But I think it's important when you see people doing an extension of the stuff we're talking about.
You say it like that? See you doing it again?
Not quite.
We should be talking about this a lot more than we are. We should be living it out a lot more than we are. And as leaders, that's kind of our what we should be doing. I think is talking about it, strategizing, complimenting, looking at ways the things that we've done, and talking about how we could do them better. Because the more we talk about it, the more it becomes second nature. It becomes, you know, a mindset, not just hope, pray about it, talk about it once, and hope that it happens. Because it isn't. Well, you know, God, being on mission should be the primary reason. I think that GC exists to make disciples, to build relationships, and as we follow who Christ is and grow in his ways, if we're really doing that, it includes other people.